Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, Duck Hunt, and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Chris, and this week I'm joined by Rory.
Hello.
And Gav.
What's up?
How you doing, people?
Yeah. Good. Really excited.
Excited for this, because it's an exciting show.
Yeah, it is.
We're looking forward.
I got so excited doing this, doing my running order for what I was doing, because I just kept watching amazing trailers for really, really good stuff.
You watched the trailers as well?
Yeah.
I just wrote a list.
I mean, I watched the trailers.
Did you get excited for this?
Oh,
you...
yeah, absolutely.
I
struggled to condense it all down. So I've got some ones that go into a little bit more detail, and then I'll kind of rattle off some of the other big ones I'm excited about, and I'm sure everyone else is excited about as well.
Because you're doing games. How many titles have you picked?
So we've got 8 big titles that I think are definitely worth talking about.
And how many have you gone for, Gav? You're doing TV.
I'm doing TV, the best of TV in 2016, and I've just gone for loads.
Loads?
Yeah.
I needed a number on that, really.
I don't know. I'm going to say 20.
20.
Okay, yeah. I think I've got 23.
Okay.
So I lose.
I win, although people might be bored halfway through mine. Yeah. We're going to kick off with the shortest, but not the least important then.
No, of course not. So games for 2016. Guys, the forecast is looking great. We've got some huge titles that I'm really excited about. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Games Watch 2016. It's the first one on my list is, I've talked about it before on the podcast, it's a game called Firewatch.
Oh yeah, this looks really good.
I am just inexplicably fascinated by this game. I've watched the trailer so many times, so I don't know if you know a lot about the narrative, Chris.
I might have helped dedicate a podcast to it here. Ooh. And know one of the people that worked on it.
So of course, yeah, the art director.
I might be an expert on it.
Ooh.
But not for a while. I've not spoken to him since Comic-Con, so.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's a first-person adventure game where you basically play... like a park ranger. You're basically on fire watching one of the towers because it's a dry summer, so you got to look after this huge nature park and keep an eye on everyone who's there. And basically you're kind of the character you're playing, Henry, is basically, I think he's had a bit of a messy social life, you know, job, so he's decided he's going to take up this job and, you know, just take a nice little vacation break at this job. Then things start to go a bit weird. 2 girls go missing, and when you're watching the trailer, there's this like really sinister undertone and some like really dark bits. But you don't really get a glimpse of it because everything prior is just these nice sunny fields and like beautiful autumn leaves. There's something about it that I'm dying to know more. Like, honestly, it sounds so good.
I really want to see more of this. And like Ollie Moss, I think, is really, really good. And it's also got the guy from
Mad Men. Rich Sommer.
Rich Sommers, yeah. He's got him in as well. But I think I've worked out the twist.
Don't tell me. Yeah. I don't want to work out the twist. I didn't know there was a twist.
Well, I think
in the trailer there's a bit of a like.
I don't think it's necessarily definitely going to be a twist, but I think there is a twist, and I think I've already worked it out.
Yeah. Well, one of the cool things actually is because the only kind of communication you have is with the other woman who's basically at the other post. But the 2 voice actors, they've never actually met in real life.
Oh, okay.
So obviously they only communicate in the game through. Through the radios, and I thought that was a cool little idea that they hadn't actually met in real life either. They want to keep it like a separate thing, so that was really cool. So that's the first game that I'm really looking forward to, and that's going to be out in February of 2016.
Okay. Is it February?
Right around the corner.
Excellent.
And what's it on? Sorry.
That's going to be on PC and PlayStation 4.
Okay,
which
cool.
sucks because I really want to play it on Xbox. But I'll change for you, Firewatch.
Yeah, you should be.
The next one that obviously everyone's excited about is No Man's Sky, which is being released in June. Now, this is the game that is allegedly an infinite procedurally generated universe.
Yeah.
And you just kind of explore different, like, basically the way they pitch it is that, you know, any star you see in the galaxy is something you can physically go to in your ship and explore worlds. I think we're all still excited about this, but I was talking to Dale about it earlier and it was kind of announced a bit early because the hype was so big and so real and the concept of the game was so, like, enticing. But now it's starting to die down a little bit. There's only so many trailers you can release.
Dude, I feel like they're doing that on purpose as well.
You think so?
Because every time that Sony did like a conference or anything, they would wheel out No Man's Sky front and center. And like, these guys. And like,
this is still happening.
The guy went on Colbert. Like, he was on Colbert. Like,
I saw that, yeah.
Like, developer on Stephen Colbert. It's amazing. But I feel like now they're kind of going, we need to temper expectations a little bit because we've spent years now hyping up this game. If it's not, like, I think it's going to be an all right game. I just don't think it's going to be the game that everybody wants it to be. It's never going to be. Like, they even got in Rutger Hauer at E3 to do, like, do some...
the voiceover,
to do
for
some
the trailer.
Blade Runner dialogue at the beginning. Like, I've seen things. Like, he's
you
in the actual
people
trailer.
People wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
It's really... It was
I think
cool.
he's actually going to be the voice in the game as well.
Awesome. Like, he's got a great voice.
But I think it's all going to fall on the narrative of the game because obviously, like, the concept is really cool. The mechanics are cool. I mean, being able to explore it, an infinite galaxy is insane. But if there's if there's nothing driving you, then eventually you're just going to lose steam.
Also, they keep saying, like, oh, yeah, every planet's going to be different. Well, the planets I've seen have been like, this one's yellow.
This the one, grass is purple.
There's a big dinosaur over there. The dinosaur's over there on this planet.
Like, I know what you mean. There's only so much. Because if it is procedurally generated, it's going to be the same algorithms, presumably. So there's only so much of a variant thing you can get. I think it's going to be really cool.
It's either going to be like the best thing ever, or it's going to be all right and people are going to be really pissed off with it.
I think as an idea though it'll still be like ambitious and cool. I don't think there'll be many people who aren't gonna buy that game and pick it up. Like, if it reviews well, everyone's definitely gonna have a go. The next one I'm looking forward to, an absolute obvious one, Zelda for Wii U. Now, we've talked about this on the podcast before. It's been delayed. People are getting a little bit impatient with it. I'm still really excited. It'll be the first Zelda completely set in a fully open world, which is an insane concept for anyone who's ever played Zelda games before, because, I mean, they are big open worlds, but it's a very set track.
Yeah.
Not really a lot of exploration. And I feel like it's a good way for... It's like Zelda becoming a lot... Like, moving forward into modern gaming. Like, if they released another Zelda game now where it's very much like... talk to a man who tells you need to go here and you have to walk along that path to reach this. I think the freedom and the exploration, I mean, Zelda's perfect for that because that's what it's all about, is adventure.
Yeah, no, that is good. But people, I do like Zelda games as they are, though. Like, Skyward Sword is one of my favorite Zelda games.
I disagree so much. Yeah, I don't. Well, am I though? Am I?
There's a really good podcast. I think I've talked about them a couple of times. There's these guys called BitSocket who are like Scotch, and they did this epic podcast where they basically ranked every single Zelda game.
Yeah,
we should do that.
We definitely should, although it seems like we're gonna argue. I really enjoyed Skyward Sword, but that was the one thing you didn't get, was a sense of adventure.
I don't think I've played more than 2 minutes of a Zelda game.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, I've got some. I'm gonna recommend
right at the
you
beginning.
I'll give you a list of all the best ones to play in which order.
Okay,
definitely. But yeah, well, Skyward Sword, like, the problem with that was when you were moving from location to location, instead of having that option of, like, getting on your horse and riding around this field in this huge world, it was just getting on the bird and there was nothing happening in the sky.
Yeah, I guess
nothing. So. And you were just flying until you reached a point, and then you'd go down into, like, a level.
Like, flying,
it was nice for a short while, but horseback every time. Definitely.
Fine.
Definitely. Mm. The next one I'm looking forward to, bit of a curveball here, Allison Road. So now this is a survival horror game that kind of
looks awesome.
Yeah, it kind of crept out of the shadows as soon as PT. That's a nice.
Did you write that down?
No, I didn't actually.
quickly
erasing it. No, I didn't write it down. It's similar to PT. You're kind of in these close quarters corridors, kind of blurs the lines of reality and fantasy, and it's a really dark horror survival game. And I think it's gonna be really cool for a lot of people like myself that didn't get a chance to play PT. Well, I know Alex has it on his PlayStation,
but
I still
as well.
never got a chance. And it's quite sad that it's such a huge game, it's such a huge cultural following, and now people can't really play it anymore. You can't get your hands on it.
I think this is going to be the game for Chris.
Yeah, well,
you think so?
Out of everything, yeah.
Well, one of the cool things about it is because it's made with the Unreal Engine 4, it will have VR support. That will be terrifying.
Oh my god!
Like, there was talks that they were gonna include virtual reality into the playable teaser.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, I think that would be really, really scary because we got to use some of PlayStation's VR headsets.
Yeah.
When we were in
Paris.
Yeah. And that was pretty cool. But that was
Until Dawn, like their horror thing. But there's also Kitchen as well, which is the Capcom thing, which is kind of like, you know, you and your partner are tied to like chairs, and you've got a thing, and you've got this kind of like entity, this sort of evil woman trying to like get at you and things like that.
Yeah. I think it'd be terrifying, especially for this, because this is the kind of game where it's very little on like huge open world exploration. Yeah. It's very, I mean, you're not on a track because you can free roam, but it's still, there's only like so many directions you can go. You're essentially stuck in a house. I think VR would work really well for that.
Controlling
like maybe
stuff, yeah,
controlling, but then having free roam with your head.
Yeah,
I think it'd be really, really cool.
It was a Kickstarter as well, and I think the Kickstarter was doing all right, and then Team 17 picked it up, possibly Team 17?
I'm not sure, but it did start as a Kickstarter game, which is insane that it's come this far, and it looks really, really impressive. Yeah. Like, the graphics look really, really impressive.
Well, the trailer's, all the thing from the trailer is based on their actual studio.
Really?
So if you go to their studio, that's where it actually is, like all the walking
around stuff. All the blood on the walls and everything? Yeah. Ooh, that's pretty grim.
Ooh. Yeah.
The next one I'm looking forward to is Final Fantasy 15.
Did Luke tell you to put this one down?
No. See, this,
Luke's gone.
I have a void to fill now. I have a void to fill. I'm the new Luke. And it's going to be the first Final Fantasy to have real-time combat. So before, it's kind of turn-based, you know. Yeah. I've never actually played a Final Fantasy game before.
Really?
So I'm thinking this is the one for me.
It actually does look quite fun, to be honest.
It looks really cool. And again, huge worlds, like the scales of some of the monsters and the creatures you fight are just, they're titans. They're enormous.
Yeah.
And just being able to like explore these fields and have some real-time combat for once and look like a J-pop band driving around in a Cadillac, I think that's really, really cool. So I think this definitely will be the first Final Fantasy game that I'm probably willing to give a decent shot.
Okay.
After that, we have Uncharted 4 coming in March. This is the final installment in the Uncharted series.
Yeah.
Now, of course I had to put this in because it's going to be one of the biggest games of the year, but I don't feel like I have proper authority getting excited about it because I haven't actually played an Uncharted game. But
ever.
I've never played one Uncharted game. Well, I played some demos, but no, never.
doesn't count.
No. Met Nolan North, very nice man.
Did you tell him?
Never controlled him
you
before.
Like, yeah, good job on those Uncharted games, man. Never played them. So.
Yeah, never played them, but good voice.
Played Deadpool, though. So.
I'm excited about it. I think it's one of these kind of tough situations because I really want to play this and I know there's going to be a lot of hype about it, but I really feel like I should get the Nathan Drake Collector's Edition.
I've got that.
Like,
you can have that if you want.
And all right,
you'll burn through it as well. Yeah,
yeah. I'll have to take a PlayStation home though. I definitely would have tackled it if it was like on Xbox as well, but
that's the point.
I know that is the point, Gav. That's why I haven't. So that's going to be coming out in March. I mean, already these are so many insanely good games I'm really looking forward to. And it's quite well spread as well. It's not just like, I mean, this year we had so many launching just like last month, like
that's
huge titles all at the same time. Yeah, it was crazy. But I mean, at least these games are a bit more spread out.
Yeah.
Next up is Dead Island 2.
Why are you looking forward to this?
I loved Dead Island 1.
What?
And I loved Dying Light.
Do you mean you loved Dead Island 1 trailer? Is that what you're saying? I think that's what he's saying.
No, I loved it. The first Dead Island?
Dead Island is a bag of arse.
That's a great... It got Game of the Year.
No, it didn't.
I think it did.
Wait.
It definitely got a Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, that was a big joke. Like, it was a Game of the Year edition, but it hadn't been given any Game of the Year awards.
How did you not enjoy Dead Island?
Because it's a bag of arse.
I loved it. And the fact that you could do 4-player online co-op through the campaign was so much fun because, as I said, like I come from a family that lives very far apart.
Yeah.
So we spend all of our like social time like playing games together, and this was amazing.
Why don't you talk to each other?
Oh, we don't. No, we don't have headsets. No, it's just silence. Just silence. One of us will log out and be like, "He's gone."
Yes.
Didn't say goodbye. I really enjoyed the first one. It's the first game I ever had that was like really into crafting items and like customizing, creating weapons.
Are you kidding?
And I'm not kidding at all.
You spent the first hour of Dead Island getting money from suitcases, and I was like, I don't even know what this money's for. Like, the zombie apocalypse has come. Why do I need money?
Bartering.
I was about to say, you are wearing a lot of layers.
Yeah, I'm warm now.
What are you doing?
I think I'm getting sick because I've been wearing like coats and jackets and scarves and everything.
You're wearing a big coat, a hoodie, and a scarf indoors. Yeah, I'm a bit warm.
I've only become aware right this minute of how warm I actually am. And it's incredibly warm.
You're a mess, man. Oh. Keep going.
Sorry, come on. I just want to say another mental thing that you did earlier. So we're moving office at the moment, so we're deciding what to take and what not to take. There's a 2015 calendar outside, and a group of goes, "Do you want this guy?" And I went, "Oh, yeah," laugh, because obviously 2015 is coming to an end. And he goes, "I'll have that. I use it as my 2016 calendar." And we were just like, what are you talking about?
Does not work.
Krupa goes, "Well, you'll be like a day late all the time." Yeah. And he went, "Yeah, probably." Like, I don't think I was trying to explain to Rory what calendars are.
I thought you were going to say when I found that box of moist wipes in my desk that look like they're from the Second World War.
Next game.
All right, next game. The next game I'm looking forward to, the next one and the final one of my solid eight. Okay. It did make it on the game list because technically it is a game, but it's Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Which is going to be released next year.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an augmented reality game, which is essentially an app for your mobile phone, which we don't really know a lot of details about it so far. All we got was an incredibly tantalizing trailer that's essentially like, Pokemon are real now. So it kind of like, I guess it uses your phone and your GPS to kind of like go around the world, and it also has a Bluetooth accessory that's kind of shaped like a Pokeball, I guess.
Well, I won't be getting that.
Oh, I will. I'll have probably five of them.
Yeah.
So when you reach a location where Pokemon is, it'll whatever light up or vibrate or something and let you know that there's one nearby. And then I guess it uses the camera on your phone to interact and place that. This is all speculation because all we have is the trailer to go by.
I'm excited.
But I'm incredibly excited.
But we're Pokemon.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So that is the eighth game on my list that I am really looking forward to in 2016. There are some more that unfortunately don't really have time to go on to because we got a full show here, guys.
Okay, but you do. So if you want to go on to them, just
list
them.
Oh, I will. I will. Yeah, I'll just list them. I'll just list them.
Boom.
So it's Wild, Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ooh, yeah.
Deus Ex.
Deus Ex.
I always say it wrong. Deus Ex. Because it's like Deus.
Even I know that.
It's the second. The Division.
Yep.
It sounds French.
Yep.
The Last Guardian.
Sure.
Gav's dying. For Honor. That looks really cool. I haven't had a chance to play that yet, but everyone's raging about it. Gears of War 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4.
No one's looking forward to that.
Well, I'm going to get a chance to play it at Christmas time.
Oh.
So we will have previews up on site. If anyone is a Naruto fan, we'll give you lots of coverage on how awesome that game is going to be. So that's most of the games that I'm looking forward to in 2016.
I mean,
awesome.
That is enough excitement and optimism for one podcast.
Definitely.
Can we bring it down a notch, Gav?
I don't know if we can.
You're
going
to do TV.
I'm too excited.
All right, I'll do it for all of us when it gets onto mine.
All right, fine.
I'll just moan for 20 minutes. What you got, Gav?
Okay, so I put mine into little categories, right?
Yeah, like I did, like any sane human being.
Mine are in categories. I have my games. Eight mains, and then the mini ones. Deus Ex is in the small list.
Deus Ex.
The others are here.
So dropping a deuce on this podcast.
Is it going to be a good year for TV?
I think it really is.
Okay.
So this is why. Okay, so we've got the big comeback. This is all. I've gone for just new stuff, right? I'm not going for like.
Is that a show, or you're saying?
No, listen. That's the name of my category.
I thought it was the first show.
Yeah, I should say. I'm not like putting Game of Thrones and stuff like that. I'm going for like brand new shows, basically, for this, rather than talking about returning ones. But the big comeback. This is one that I'm talking about. The X-Files.
Oh, okay.
It's back in January with a miniseries. The first episode showed at New York Comic Con. Reviews are all right. Like, we give it quite a good review. But the one thing that I think is really good about it is apparently it's pretty unforgiving if you're not an X-Files fan. Like, it's not like for people who are new to the series. It's really dense and it's like full of sort of references and characters that if you have never watched the X-Files before, you might be a little bit lost, apparently.
Yeah.
But I'm all up for that. Like,
that's
kind of
tough, though. Like,
or I might not watch it because it's been a long time since
I saw
it.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I probably tailed off my viewing towards the end, a lot of shows. When did Robert Patrick replace him in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably stopped watching it by then. So if there's a lot of strong references to Robert Patrick.
Oh no, I don't think it will be.
Sure,
I think I think it's going to be like classic. Well, it's going to be a lot of references like classic X-Files, but it's a mini series. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do with it. Is it going to be like an overarching storyline?
Yeah.
But then a couple of like Monster of the Week episodes, and I think Monster of the Week is where it could be really, really good, because there's a lot of stuff has happened in the world since the X-Files finished. Like, you know, and I think in the first episode there's like references to like Edward Snowden and like, you know, post like 9/11 stuff and that, things like that.
You know, I've never seen X-Files before, so this was not what I imagined. Was
it's about paranoia and fear and horror and aliens and whatever, but
I thought it was just aliens and the fear and paranoia of aliens.
It's a different case each week.
Okay, cool.
But there's going to be a 2-night premiere in January, so that's an interesting thing. So they're going to have one episode on one night, one episode another night. But I'm really excited for that.
Interesting. I just wonder, obviously the X-Files movie was good, the X-Files second movie was terrible,
awful.
Is there a fear, if they don't nail it, of spoiling the legacy a little bit?
I kind of think this is like, because I thought the second film did kind of spoil the legacy. Because it's just not very good. And like, you know, all these years, you'd be building up to this relationship of Mulder and Scully, like sort of, you know, will they, won't they, like all this, you know, over these years. And then they just destroy it. And then in the second film, they're just like, yeah, they're together. They've been together a while. It's fine. Like, you don't get this big reveal in that. No. I think it seems like they're estranged by the time of this, so maybe we got them coming back together. So maybe we will get to see, you know, the scene that we've always wanted of them coming together and doing it. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a big comeback. See what I did there? Full circle. Pulling it back.
Okay.
All right.
Zip it.
My next one. Two good adaptations that I'm excited about. One is 11/22/66. 22nd of November 1966.
I thought that was a movie. Is that a TV show?
It's a TV show. It's a miniseries. It's a miniseries.
That's the name of the show?
Yeah, it's you
why don't you let him finish anything?
I was about to say, for Americans, that date is really, really important. So it should be important to you, because
I didn't actually listen to the date.
Do you know what
the
date is?
Isn't it the day that Kennedy got killed? And it was a Stephen King book.
That's right, yeah. Huh. So it was the day that JFK was assassinated. So the Stephen King book is about a teacher that travels back in time and to stop the assassination. So he's introduced to the time machine or whatever. He's like, basically, once you go through this room, you will be in 1966 and you can stop. Or maybe it might not be 1966, but you can stop a Kennedy being assassinated anyway. And it's got Chris Cooper and James Franco in it. And just from the really, really short teaser, Chris Cooper sounds like he's amazing in it as well.
What is the date you've got? It's definitely not 66.
It's 1958.
It's 63, I think.
63.
Yeah, if I know my history, it's 63.
So is that what it's called?
Not. It should be.
It should be that. Okay, right.
Unless he's going back to stop England winning the World Cup. Honestly, when you were saying
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is 63. Okay, well.
So now you can't mock him for not knowing his history.
Rory the easy target.
You guys should be high-fiving me if I have got it right.
Yeah.
Unless
we've all got it wrong.
Do write in if 63 is incorrect. It's not.
Good things about it.
Yeah.
It's produced by J.J. Abrams and it's coming out of Bad Robot Productions.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And even though they have made some questionable telly in the past,
yep,
I think a miniseries is quite good. It's got good like source material to be from it. It's also, the first two episodes directed by Kevin MacDonald, who did Last King of Scotland, State of Play.
Yeah.
He's really, really good. And also James Strong directs a couple of episodes as well, and he's the guy who did Broadchurch.
Okay.
What network or channel is it going to be with?
I believe it's HBO.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds cool, though. I really like the concept. Yeah, and I'm a sucker for time travel stories.
Always chatting to horror directors about what Stephen King they'd like to adapt.
Yeah.
Because it's like the Holy Grail, almost. They all love Stephen King. And there's not been a huge amount of good ones. And so many have said to me, that's the one.
Really?
Yeah, and before that, funny enough, the one that they always used to say to me is 1402, was it called? The Samuel L. Jackson, John Cusack. Everyone wanted to adapt that, and then the Scandinavian director got it and made a great horror movie out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the one that a lot of them have been after.
Do any of them want to adapt 11/22/66?
The sequel.
Stopping England from winning the World Cup. To be honest, if I was going to stop something, I would probably go back and stop England winning the World Cup. Like,
but why? You're pretty much English.
Because you have to hear about it all the time.
But you can revel in that glory by moving to this country and trying to be part of this society.
No.
Move on.
No. So, yeah, that's one of the big ones I'm really, really excited about. But it's only a mini-series. I like James Franco. I love Chris Cooper. I can't remember the last time I saw Chris Cooper in something that blew me away as well, so I'm looking forward to that.
Muppets.
Muppets, of course, yeah. So the next adaptation, Westworld.
Mm-hmm. So this is Jonathan Nolan. So he worked on, you know, with Christopher Nolan on quite a lot of his films. Is creating this, and it's basically it kind of feels like it's taken what Westworld was, which is I've never seen the Yul Brynner film, but I know the story, which is basically a futuristic theme park, and they're sort of run by robots, and then the robots sort of turn against the humans.
Yeah, it's run by humans.
Run by humans, but has robots in it.
So it's written by Michael Crichton.
That's right.
And he wrote it before Jurassic Park. It's the same plot as Jurassic Park.
Right.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, it's the same just plot. Like Jurassic
right,
Park.
Okay, yeah. But he directed the film as well, the original film,
Michael
right?
Crichton, I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But I've never seen it, and I really want to, because...
It's a great movie.
Yeah. It's, like, you'll know this, it's the, basically the, the Simpsons episode Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Oh, yeah.
That's essentially it.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
They basically ripped it off for that. But that, again, it's got a really, really good cast. It's got Ed Harris, Anthony Hopkins, awesome. James Marsden, and Thandie Newton. Really good trailers,
and
well.
They've been talking about. I seem to remember reading a story about there being quite a lot of sex in it.
Mm.
But that's where it goes. It's a grown up playground, and there you can go to ancient Rome, and there's women there, and like you can have sex with these robots and stuff, which is kind of what grown ups.
So this
would
isn't
do,
really
I
a
think.
Theme park. This is like a.
It's a theme park, right? It's like a Vegas theme park almost, yeah.
Right?
But yeah, the effect. Although Westworld's great with modern day effects, it could be really, really interesting because it was literally Yul Brynner pretending to be a robot, but now you can. You know,
sexy time. Just like doing this. Can I see the trailer? Is it like, well, not now, obviously.
I haven't got it on.
We're in the middle of a podcast.
Someone's Skype it to me. That sounds cool.
Really, really good trailer. I will point out as well for the Stephen King one. If you type in the actual correct one, which is 11/22/63, there's a teaser which was obviously like the trailer for his like a teaser trailer for his book.
Yep.
It is one of the worst things I've ever seen. And like originally I wrote down, this looks really good, but the trailer is terrible. And then I realized it was actually the trailer for the book and not for the show. The trailer for the show is really good.
Book trailers are really strange because there's a level of ambiguity that they have to include because people have like pre-decided like visuals of what the characters look like. So it's like footsteps and blurred things. Yeah. Like you can't really do anything really specific.
I remember someone in our office actually telling me that I could post the Maze Runner trailer. They'd done the trailer for the movie, even though the film wasn't coming out for 2 years. And I said, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. He's like, yeah, no, they've done it. They made it. Done. And it was the book trailer, obviously. Oh. But this, I think even the film company had been passing it around. Like it was
really?
Definitely not the trailer.
Was it like point of view moving through like...
It was terrible.
I thought it was so
bad.
It'd
be interesting to watch that. So, okay, next one then. Mm. So this, I put this, this is, my category is called the one that seems like a new idea, even though it's probably not.
Okay.
Is the Wolf Creek TV adaptation.
Yep.
So like Wolf Creek's like two films, I think. I haven't seen the second one. I've seen the first one. I really, really liked it. So it's kind of like Australian horror film about this pretty nasty guy called Mick Taylor, who's played by John Jarrett. And he is like, basically he captures sort of people in the like backpackers and stuff in the outback. It's a pretty nasty film, but ooh, I really like the first one.
It's incredible. Really, really, it's good. Incredible. Yeah. If you want to be terrified for over an hour, watch that movie. You'll come out shaking.
Mm. I watched it ages ago when it first came out, and then when I went to Australia in February, we stayed at this really horrible sort of motel, and I watched it there as well. And it was
why
like,
would you do
why,
that?
Why have we done this?
Well, you don't have much choice if you're in the Northern Territory, which is where it takes place. Mm. That's what it is. What it's like.
Yeah.
And you do meet. You're in a pub, and there'll be a guy that's maybe not seen a girl for a week because it's so desolate out there.
Yeah.
And it's loosely based on a couple of true stories as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
About people that lost their minds out in the Northern Territory, and one set fire to a youth hostel and killed a bunch of kids. Another,
oh my gosh,
yeah, murdered a couple, a British couple, so one of them anyway.
But yeah, so they're making a 6-part TV series about it. So it's basically one girl escapes his clutches and then goes on, basically tries to get some revenge on him. But I really like the idea of it because I think I was trying to think of something that's been similar.
And what I know about it is that it's the same filmmaker behind it, who directed 1 and 2, and he's a really good director as well. Yeah, I that's something to be excited about if you like horror.
Yeah, definitely. Because
it'd be terrifying.
I was trying to think of like other like serial killer, you know, like that kind of storyline, but in a TV show, and I can't really think of that many examples, if any.
You put me on the spot, and
exactly,
I can't.
Yeah. Like, because when we think of horror, like now, you think of like, it's horror, but it's like a series, like X-Files and things like that, whereas I'm there, like a really focused storyline just on, you know, this one girl getting away, and it feels like she's going to be like the main. It's an Australian actress called Lucy Fry. She's in a bunch of stuff next year. She's actually in that JFK thing as well.
Okay.
Wow. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think it'll be quite good. This is a big, big section now. It's called The Best Netflix. So this is coming, some of the best stuff coming to Netflix, and I'm not going to go through them all.
Good.
Like, but the ones that I'm really excited about, Marseille, which is a French drama with Gerard Depardieu. I think that could be quite good.
Maybe it's a great second name.
Maybe me. Is that the first time you've heard that?
Yeah.
I say it is.
It's the first time I've...
Rory!
You've never heard of Gerard Depardieu?
Well, you're saying it differently.
He's saying it correctly.
How old are you?
12 next summer. What does he do? What does he do?
He's a famous French actor. He's the most famous French actor ever.
Where would I know him from?
Yeah. He took a piss on a plane not long ago and got in trouble for
that. Oh, yeah. That guy. What? Of course I don't know who that is.
Okay. What's Green Card? Classic.
Green Card.
But yeah, that could be the French Narcos.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe.
So it's a crime thing, is it?
Yeah, it's a crime.
You didn't give us anything. You just said the name.
You said the name.
It's like a political drama. So I think it's going to be like, you know, crime, like politics. I think
they're good at that in French. Yeah. I've seen a lot of good crime dramas from France.
Yeah. I think he'd be really good.
And he's in some of them. Okay. He's very well known. He's got a big nose as well.
Yes. You will, as soon as you know him, you'll recognize
him. I probably know his face, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The next one is Love, which is a Judd Apatow TV show. All about dating, starring Gillian Jacobs from Community.
Okay.
Even though I kind of was turned off, like I really, really hated Trainwreck, like one of the worst films of the year.
Ooh.
The TV stuff that he's done, like with girls, I really liked how he did that. And like, the episodes that he did, like wrote and directed, were really, really good. And I really just taking a really like specific thing about like love and dating and from a girl's point of view as well, I think this could be quite good. Because I think girls for me just got really annoying by the end.
Yeah.
Something that I love turned into something that I just couldn't be arsed watching. So
yeah.
I'm quite excited for that. The Get Down, which is a Baz Luhrmann and Sean Ryan TV show. So Baz Luhrmann, obviously like all these crazy like musical things. And Sean Ryan, who my favorite thing is The Shield that he's done, doing... a sort of musical drama about the New York music scene in the 70s, and it's got a really good trailer.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah,
Have you Baz Luhrmann is?
No.
Moving on.
Sounds cool though. I heard musicals
cool.
in the 70s.
Cool. He's
so.
Cool.
I know him. I just don't know his name.
All right. What did he do?
He's an actor.
No, that's
he's
not.
He's not an actor.
He's a musician.
No, that's not fair. That's not
he's
fair.
A director. No, we can keep doing this.
Yeah.
Just when someone really famous comes up, that's when we'll do it.
Okay.
Have you heard of JFK?
No.
Okay.
So this next one then is a curveball because it hasn't actually been dated, but rumours are that it's going to surface in 2017. It's a series of unfortunate events.
Right.
So there was like a fake, was it a fake trailer? Was it a real trailer? It's kind of like leaked early in the year.
They're going back at that?
Yeah, they're making a TV version of it. And I thought the trailer's one of the best trailers of the year, even though it might not be real. But they kind of like are keeping it like shrouded in secrecy. But the rumour is that it's coming out in... 2017.
Is it retaining Jim Carrey?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
But it's going to be kind of hard for whichever actor takes over because he's so good in that. Like I actually really, really like the film. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for that. But those I think are the best Netflix shows that we will be watching in 2016. Next up is the I probably won't understand a lot of it, but I'll nod along.
That was the whole list for me.
And it's a show called Billions. With Paul Giamatti, Malin Ekerman, and Damian Lewis. Giamatti plays Chuck Rhodes, a US attorney, and it's kind of like based in the world of like really expensive hedge funds and things like that and how things go wrong in those. But the people attached to it are really, really good. So it's the guys that wrote Rounders and Runaway Jury.
I know one of them.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, Brian Koppelman.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Only over Twitter, though.
Yeah.
He's a virtual friend.
That's fine. It still counts. And it's also... written by Andrew Ross Sorkin, who wrote the book that got adapted, Too Big to Fail, which is a really, really good documentary about the 2008 financial crisis. And I think I won't understand a lot of it, but it looks really, really good.
Mm.
It looks really, really slick and kind of like uncompromising as well, where it'll just be like, this is going to chuck a lot of stats.
Yeah,
a lot of like jargon.
I like that kind of stuff, like Wall Street, big business stuff.
He did Rounders, he did Ocean's 13.
That's right,
really good script as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
So I just got two more categories then. This next one is the best comic show adaptations. Now, I didn't see anything this year of comic book adaptations that really blew me away. We did like a best of TV podcast the other day, which you should listen to.
Oh, you didn't like Daredevil? That's right.
Well, Chris made a really, really good point, where it's just like, there's no, he hasn't, we haven't had like a 9, 9.5, 9, 10 out of 10 comic book series yet.
That's true, yeah.
Not in our opinion. I think on the site we have, yeah. We've not been.
But I think anyone who watches those shows, though, like, no one can say that they are, as you said, like appointment television, where they're just like, these are the big shows. No one's going to be talking about those shows in the same sort of tones as like Breaking Bad, Sopranos, The Wire, or anything like that.
Yes. Is that because, at least for the Netflix ones, is that because they were based on Netflix? Like, there would have had a bit more sustainability if you weren't able to watch every episode almost immediately? Because it had a huge hype. It was all everyone was talking about for about 2 weeks, and then it was done.
I'm talking about the actual quality of it.
Oh, right.
I think.
Well, I think Daredevil definitely took everyone by surprise. Like, that was pretty huge.
It's good, but it's not on the same level of, like, Mad Men, The Wire.
I guess, House of Cards. Yeah.
Like, it's not that kind of drama, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But that's what I think. But we've got some good ones coming out in 2016. Now, Legends of Tomorrow, I really wasn't excited about it. And then Chris mentioned it on the podcast the other day. So I kind of had a look at it. And it does look really, really fun.
I'll be honest, you poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
When I pitched it in the last podcast.
Because I remember seeing the trailer and thinking, no. But then I went back and sort of read some stuff about it. And it's kind of like bringing together a lot of the heroes we've seen in the DC stuff and kind of chucking them in like different eras, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be like kind of like time traveling. It just looks like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think, because the thing I don't like about those DC shows is they do tend to take themselves a little bit too seriously.
Yeah.
But
Flash doesn't. Not a Supergirl.
I haven't seen that much. I really like Supergirl, but
they've got a very fun.
Yeah, Flash is pretty
lighthearted.
Yeah.
But it looks like a lot of fun anyway. I kind of like that. But also, grouping together of heroes, the Defenders. Is apparently we're going to see in 2016, which is, so all the Marvel ones we've seen at the moment coming together.
That's cool. I think that's going to be really cool.
To form their own little Avengers thing, which would be really, really
good. Is that next year? Because Daredevil's back and we've got Luke Cage and Iron Fist, haven't we,
Defenders are still slated apparently for the end of 2016, but this is the thing, Iron Fist is still slated for 2016. We don't have an Iron Fist yet.
Yeah, figuring it out as they go along, aren't they, really, which is the right way to do it.
Well, I think
things can change. Like, Daredevil was so popular and successful, stick another one of those out before you get to it.
I think that's what it is. Maybe they didn't expect Daredevil to be, you know, to get the sort of reaction that it did.
Yeah.
And they've kind of gone, oh, we'll do another one of those then, straight away.
It's the same way with Marvel with their movies. They're switching them up depending on what's successful and what people react to.
So you said a couple of them there. So we've got Iron Fist, Luke Cage. Kind of not really. I didn't think the guy who played Luke Cage was interested enough that I'd be like, I'd like to watch him in an entire show. But maybe we'll get to see like
a bit more of him, and
but also earlier as well. So like, maybe we get to see, because that's the thing at the moment that we're not getting in the Marvel shows, and I kind of do like, but I kind of miss sometimes, is you're not getting origin stories really.
Yeah,
like they give them to you, they're sort of drip feeding you. Like, you're not seeing how people get their powers, you're just seeing them.
It's like it's almost like they're established, and then you get like some flashback episodes.
But I kind of like that, because it's kind of them just going like, you don't have to have this big, like, you know, Uncle Ben dying, like, end bit, but you don't have to see that all the time. It's kind of just like, yeah, people have got powers, deal with it. Like, I really like that.
Yeah,
but at the same time, Luke Cage's origin is really, really interesting.
I find it like that show is going to be really dark. Like, combining Jessica Jones with Daredevil, I know, because it's the same, they live in the same city, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a pretty dark show compared to DC.
Yeah.
Like, which is kind of strange, because it's usually, I find, like, the DC movies to be quite darker, and the Marvel ones, reversed it for the shows.
It's definitely the reverse in terms of the Netflix ones.
But maybe that'll be nice, like, and going between them both.
They've still not cast Iron Fist, and hopefully they won't have done before this goes out, but if you ever watch our superhero show that Dan and I do get behind our campaign to get Dan Stevens cast as Iron Fist. It's hashtag Fist Dan Stevens. So.
Best hashtag.
Why?
It's good, because I want him to be Iron Fist.
So
that's why it's the best one.
Do tweet that hashtag to Marvel and to Netflix and to Dan Stevens himself.
We want to fist Dan Stevens, definitely.
Yeah.
Also, Preacher. Now, I wasn't that impressed with the trailer, really. I'm not a massive Dominic Cooper fan, but I'm holding out hope that it's going to be good, and I don't know what I'm basing that
on. It's a fantastic comic.
Yeah,
I haven't read Preacher.
It's really good. It's really dark and funny.
Yeah. Okay, those are really good things.
A bit more supernatural than superhero, but
what's his ability? What's his power? Or
nothing?
What's his vibe? Really? Just a dark, funny guy.
He's a priest,
kind of like Gav.
He's a priest who could... No, he's got loads of powers, hasn't he?
Well, he's got ties to the underworld and stuff like that. And like,
that's
like
a power.
Like demonic things and things like that.
Those are all powers.
He's also... But he's a really nasty piece of work.
Oh.
Who, Preacher?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
No, but he's a nasty piece of work, though, innit? Like, yeah. he does some questionable things.
Okay.
But the best part in it is his psychic, who's played by, what's the guy's name?
Joe Gilgan.
Mm. And even in the trailer, he seems like he's doing a really, really good Cassidy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm excited about more. Because he's basically playing Cassidy in The Last Witch Hunter. So he must have been filming that at the same time, because he looks exactly like he does.
he's a vampire in this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
But he's, yeah. It could be really good, but the trailer seemed a little bit more like action focused.
Yeah.
But then I guess you kind of got to do that for the trailer.
Make it flashy. Sure.
It's written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. So it'll have their sense of humor.
You think they'd stick some jokes in the trailer?
There are some.
Watch
the trailer. You've got a lot of trailers. So you should be making
Send me all your trailers.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. But this is my final one, and it's the how can this possibly be shit category.
Whoa, I'm looking forward to this.
It's never... I think this is going to be the best TV show of 2016.
I'm ready to disagree.
It's Terrence Winter's Vinyl. So this is sort of a drama about a New York City music executive in the 70s. So another like 70s music thing. And it's Bobby Cannavale, who is my favorite thing in Boardwalk Empire. Like, he's just a maniac in Boardwalk Empire. But he's one that you just, every time he's on screen, your eyes are just completely transfixed on, because you never know he's
going to less do. A person and more a cartoon character.
Yes.
Okay. But
no, I like it as well. Yeah. It's just... In this...
It's broad.
Yeah. In this, he seems quite broad as well, Mike. Mm-hmm. But... I think it could be really good. So it's also Terrence Winter, who did Boardwalk Empire, but also wrote Wolf of Wall Street, and he's like a big Sopranos alumni as well. It's for HBO, and Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese are producing it, and it just looks really, really good. An amazing supporting cast as well. It's got Ray Romano doing like a serious character. Well, it's a more serious character.
What?
Which That's doesn't weird. Think, Juno Temple, Olivia Wilde, PJ Byrne, who's one of the sort of sidekicks in Wolf of Wall Street, and he's one of my favorite things. Looks really good. And Paul Ven Victory as well, who's one of my favorite Wire characters. I just think there's no way this can be bad.
A lot of shows in 2016 about men being businessy men.
Yeah.
Like,
make the world go around, they do.
Yeah. I'm excited for this. The trailer looks like a lot of fun.
I like the 70s backdrop. Hopefully that'll spice it up a bit.
I just think, yeah, there's no way I don't think that's going to be shit.
That's a big shout.
We're involved, yeah.
You never know.
Quote him on that. You never know when it's released.
Even if it's terrible, it'll have a good soundtrack.
Yes, that is true.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's TV for 2016. It's going to be good.
Great so far.
You didn't mention Twin Peaks.
Because it might not come out in 2016.
Okay.
It might be pushed back to 2017.
I was just expecting that one.
Yeah.
I've got concerns about that. Everyone thinks it's a good idea. Loves Twin Peaks. I love Twin Peaks. I don't think it's a good idea.
Not a good idea at all.
Leave it well enough alone. Yeah. That was a unique time, place, set of circumstances. But we'll see. I mean, it'd be nice to see some new David Lynch.
Yeah.
In addition to that, one thing you didn't mention, which is returning quite possibly next year, is Serial Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't a TV show.
No.
Obviously. But they announced recently it's not going to be on iTunes. It's going to be on Pandora. They've done a deal with Pandora.
It's also on iTunes as well. That was like a thing that they reported on incorrectly. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And there's going to be two series.
Yeah.
So they're investigating two cases
now. I'm so excited. So I was actually talking about Serial yesterday.
If they get near to the end of them, then they'll be next year.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do movies a bit more like Gav and less like... Rory's self-indulgent. This is what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, okay.
Let's do ones
that... I am the voice of the people, but it's fine.
So we're going to start off with... There's Summer Breeze. This is Summer Unease. Doesn't really work, does it? These are the summer blockbusters that aren't superhero.
Okay.
We're going to kick off with them. So I'm just going to list them and we'll talk about whichever ones you want to talk about. First up, Warcraft.
Man.
Could be potentially the first good video game movie.
I don't think so.
Certainly the most expensive.
Well, Super Mario Bros. I think was the first good video game movie.
A good director on board. Some really interesting actors, if not big stars.
Yeah. I'm worried about that.
I'm not sold yet. The trailer didn't quite win me over as I was hoping it would. I was more won over by the initial artwork. But then seeing it all in motion and put together... Yeah. It just didn't really grab me. It just felt like a fantasy film. It didn't really... But maybe I haven't done my research enough into how it ties into Warcraft and
you
that world.
You should watch a video that we recently put on the site, me and Dale did, from the set, which I think sells it better than the trailer does, actually.
Okay.
In terms of the story and how it all fits together and the potential there.
If it didn't have Duncan Jones directing it, I would have switched off a long time ago for Warcraft. But...
If that movie wasn't called Warcraft and it didn't have anything to do with Warcraft, I wouldn't be excited by that trailer. I wouldn't go see that film. It just looks like a fantasy film. Just like a kind of generic fantasy film.
Rubbish.
But I'm so ready to be proven wrong. Yes. I really hope it is very successful.
Independence Day resurgence?
I loved Independence Day. I'm getting a bit exhausted with all the reboots and revisiting these franchises. And hopefully it's
without Will Smith, though, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Nah.
He wasn't my favorite part of the first Independence Day.
Who was?
I found him a bit annoying.
He's on screen
as
for
a
about
kid.
80% of the time.
I like the aliens.
Yeah.
Well, they are the start of the film.
When he drags an alien out of the ship, punches it in the face, and says, "Welcome to Earth."
Amazing.
Me, as a 14-year-old kid, was just like, "Oh, that's awful."
I was like, yeah,
I was like, that's
right,
so
Will.
Cheesy. I was, oh my gosh.
Punch that alien scum.
Is there not something to be said for watching Roland Emmerich blow stuff up? He's really good at blowing things up.
Jeff Goldblum's in it, though, right?
He is, yeah. And Bill Pullman. The president's back.
Why isn't Will Smith in
it? I love the president.
He didn't want to do it because he'd just done two. He was coming off the back of two or three sci-fi.
Right, okay.
But when I spoke to Emmerich about it, he said, you know, obviously we want Will Smith. He said, but honestly, it might work better for the film.
Yeah.
Because the point with the original is there's no he wasn't the star then.
Yeah.
So there's no stars in it. So it's a proper disaster movie where anyone can die. And he said, that's kind of the same thing. He said, if we did have Will, it becomes a Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
And he has to be the hero. And so, I think there's a character that's going to be his son in it that it's going to focus on a little bit. Okay. So maybe he's dead, I don't know, but I can see where he's coming from. This isn't a Will Smith movie, so
do you think this will do well?
I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's comparable to Jurassic Park in that it was a big deal for people at the time. This changed summer movies, really. It didn't take the way they were sold, and just the size of it and the scale of it, but it's a hell of a long time ago now.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if there's still the good will towards it. But you know what? One or two trailers that are like comparable to the White House being blown up, and people will be there opening weekend. I'm guessing it'll open 4th of July, you know?
Yeah.
That would be cool. But that's like the problem, I think, when the film was originally released, when you had that trailer where you literally saw a laser beam destroying the White House. That was such an incredible sight.
Yeah.
And now that's quite an achievable thing to do with visual effects.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of films that can do things like San Andreas. It's just entire cities being destroyed.
Yeah.
You really have to up your ante. Like, you can't really use that as a selling point anymore.
It could go either way. A few of these could, to be honest. Star Trek Beyond.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think everyone did.
Simon Pegg co-scripting, I think, this one. Yeah.
I'll watch it.
I'll keep moving.
I will. I didn't actually mind the second one.
A Newborn.
Idris Elba's in Star Trek Beyond, isn't he? Yeah. See, that's good. That's got me on board.
Okay, so you're on board for that.
Yeah.
Bourne's back.
Yeah.
Greengrass and Damon. Don't you think they should have just bloody left it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But out of the films you mentioned so far,
that's
I have a lot of confidence in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those films I really, really enjoy them. There's no point where it ever dips. So I think if they can just continue the streak, I think that's great. Because that's not a big gap as well. It was quite recently. When was the last Bourne film in the trilogy?
7 years ago, maybe.
That is longer than I thought.
Six years ago. It's a while ago.
But still, I'm looking forward to that one. I really enjoy those films.
I've only ever watched I know everyone likes them, but I've only ever watched the Bourne films once, and I never was like a massive fan of them. Maybe I'll watch them again.
It really changed fight scenes for me. Ever since I watched those films, like, just something about the fighting and the way, like, the choreography and the cinematography during them was so real that I was just, like, every time I was watching a film after that, like a Bond film, I'd be like, this looks a bit fake.
I always found myself not being able to keep up with what was going on.
It's pretty fast.
Just limbs moving, and
it's very like chaotic.
It's very noticeable the way that Bond changed the way they did action because of Bourne.
Yeah.
You know, you suddenly got the parkour action sequences.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The quick close combat. Ghostbusters. We've got a new Ghostbusters.
Super interested in that.
Ladybusters.
Could be.
I'm still very skeptical. Yeah.
Because it's who's the director?
Paul Feig.
Paul Feig. Yeah. Spy, which he did, is one of my worst films of the year. I don't think it was very funny. I don't think the action was particularly good. And I think that needs to have both those things.
Well, Spy was excellent, so it's got a good chance of having good action and good jokes.
Nope.
I really enjoyed Spy.
The thing about in Spy is the main character is a spy and she doesn't look like she's a spy.
That's what I got
times
from the
two
trailer.
Hours, that's Spy.
With Jude Law being very funny and Jason Statham being very funny.
Statham is the best thing in there.
How much do you care about Ghostbusters as a child?
A lot.
Yeah?
A lot, yeah. I used to have them on cassette tape, not cassette tape, VHS tape, and I would just watch them like back to back on Saturdays. So like, yeah, like that's why this is one of the franchises that I could definitely, I don't want to be tarnished at all. Yeah. They're so fine.
It could really go either way though.
Yeah, definitely.
And the BFG I've added in there are Spielberg and Roald Dahl.
Really excited.
Two of the greatest storytellers of the last 100 years.
Up for that.
Fusing. Interested in that one? Did you read the BFG when you were a kid?
I think I read it, and I think week? I saw the movie. There was there an animated movie?
Yeah, it was an animated TV thing, I think.
But I have no memory of the narrative at all.
I'm really excited. Well, more excited after seeing Bridge of Spies, because the actor that you like, what's his name?
Mark Rylance.
Mark Rylance, yeah. So he's amazing in Bridge of Spies. Mm. He's playing the BFG. I can't wait for that, because I just want to see more of Mark Rylance. I think it was the first thing I saw of his was Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, you need to see him on stage. Yeah. That's where he comes alive. But and it's written by Melissa Matheson, who sadly passed away this year, but she wrote E.T. for Spielberg last time they worked together. So if they could just sprinkle some of that magic dust on it.
That's really cool.
Cool. All right. It's the year of the superhero movie. We've got.
It's always
one,
the year
two,
of superhero
three.
Movie.
No, because we had three this year.
Three.
Next year we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, 7.
Oh my gosh.
And it was 8, but Gambit just moved out. But if you include Turtles 2, it's 7 films. So that's more than double this year.
There's another Turtles film.
This is it made a fortune.
It did.
Turtles
made a lot of money.
No, I never saw it.
It was okay.
No, me neither.
But equally, this is the most we're going to get for a long time in terms of, you look at all the schedules. This is the year where Fox have got two, DC have got two, Marvel have got a couple, and it's going to be interesting. I'll go through them. I'll read it. So we've got, this is in chronological order. We'll have Deadpool, Batman v Superman, Captain America Civil War, X-Men Apocalypse, Suicide Squad, and then end the year with Doctor Strange. So which of those are you most excited for?
Do you know what? Batman v Superman.
Definitely. It's a good shout. I think that was my one when we did the superhero show on it.
I don't know why either, because I didn't like Man of Steel. Like, I watched it again. I watched it in the cinema, fell asleep, watched it again recently, and I just thought, I don't like this film.
That's the reason it's going to make $1.5 billion, because there's a lot of people who like Man of Steel, but a lot of people who didn't. But it's because it's Batman and Superman. This is something we've never seen and we've grown up thinking about, thanks to The Dark Knight and whatever else.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's the thing. There's just something. Everything. A lot of people like haven't liked the trailers. Like, we got a new trailer while we're recording this, we haven't seen. But like, the teaser for that, where sort of Superman sort of walks towards Batman and rips his cowl off. Like, just everything that I've seen about it, I don't know. I'm just really interested to where they're going with it. Like, I cannot wait to see it. Like, and it could be a massive mess, but it's Batman versus Superman. Yeah, this is it. You know what I mean?
And Aquaman and Wonder Woman, all these characters, Lex Luthor for the first time in this series.
But like, do you know why I generally think that I think it might be quite good? Because Ben Affleck doesn't need to do anything anymore. Like, he only picks things that I think generally he believes in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why go and play Bruce Wayne? Why go and play Batman? Why go and do it if he didn't think it was a really, really good idea?
Why not let Jon Hamm do it, who would have been much better? Which one of those do you most want to see?
I think Civil War.
Yeah,
for me, I'm really, really excited about that. The trailer, I had mixed response towards the trailer, but there were some kind of little moments of, micro emotions that just really hit home. Some of those lines, it's everything that's been building and building. And I'm a huge fan of the comics, so I'm really, really excited to see what they do with this film. Hopefully it's going to be something good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely my number one choice.
Well, both billion-dollar films, though, whatever happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Apocalypse, I'm excited for, just because I like Bryan Singer, X-Men films, think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Days of Future Past is brilliant. I watched that again recently.
Yeah.
Like, it was on TV.
Really,
like,
it was lacking a strong villain, really, whereas this time around, it's all about the villain.
Yeah.
Obviously Magneto, but he's still not, we're not sure where he sits. But Doctor Strange is the one for me, just because it looks like it's going to be something different. I like the supernatural. I like horror. There's going to bring that elements into it. And I think visually it could be interesting, and I think the cast is really strong. Like, they're all people I love watching, in terms of Cumberbatch, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Tilda Swinton, Mads Mikkelsen. It's a really cool cast. So
that's the thing. I like, Strange is up there with one of my favourite characters, but I was a bit bored by the Benedict Cumberbatch thing. I can't see him. He's obviously going to be really good in it, but I just think there could have been more interesting people to do it. But he's probably going to be good.
And none of us said Suicide Squad, which is huge. All right,
I'm
going to zip through the hidden gems of next year, the ones that...
What about Deadpool, though? We sort of glossed over Deadpool. You're worried about Deadpool, aren't you?
Well, I just don't think it'll make a huge amount of money. Mm. I think it could have I think it could struggle opening weekend.
I think it's going to outstay its welcome for an entire film of Deadpool as well. Like,
I know what you mean. Like that kind of like humor and those like quick whip lines, where they get a bit boring after like an hour and a half of it.
Yeah.
It works really well for trailers because it's such like a short thing, but yeah, it's hard to stick that long with a character that's like always on, you know?
That said, I hope it's going to be a strong alternative to what we have seen. You know, we're moaning about them being repetitive, the Marvel films.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And the DC being too serious, so hopefully it's good kind of counter-programming to the other superhero movies.
Yeah, definitely.
To be honest, you know, otherwise they're all going to be the blimmin' same.
What about Power Rangers? Is that out next year or is that the year after that?
It might be out next year. It didn't.
That'll be an interesting one.
It didn't
one.
Make any of my lists, but I know you're a fan.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I think it'd be different, like mix up from all these superhero
stories.
It's
2017. I went to a presentation about it, yeah.
Okay, early then though, right?
I think so.
They've already like casted everyone. And
yeah. But yeah. There'll be a lot of visual effects in posters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool, I'm excited for that.
Giant men in dinosaur suits, things
of course,
like that.
Yeah, they got to build all the little miniature cities.
But we're doing 2016.
Right.
Yeah. So can we...
It's because I've got the wrong calendar, so I'm...
I'm going to zip through some of the hidden gems, some of which I've seen, actually. The Witch, I've talked about before on here. It's a really, really good heavy horror film set just before the witch hunts in Massachusetts.
I really want to see this,
and it's... It's grim.
Has it got Chris Finch from The Office in it as well?
Finchie is the lead.
Finchie! No! That'd be amazing.
And he couldn't be playing a less, Finchie a more character. Different character.
How could he burn a witch? His mum's one. That sounds really cool. That would be awesome.
Green Room's a film I love. It's the guys that did Blue Ruin, which if you haven't seen, love track it down. Film, yeah. Green Room's a bit more fun. I'm say fun. It's about a punk band getting sort of trapped in a green room.
And
a bunch
really cool.
of neo-Nazis trying to kill him, led by Patrick Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, he plays the leader of these neo-Nazis.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Yeah,
yeah, it sounds great.
It's terrific. It's got a real sort of John Carpenter vibe, like I saw on Precinct 13 or something like that. Really one of those great siege movies. Devil's Candy's a really fun horror film. That reminds me, it's a bit like Deathgasm that came out this year, which you should see as well.
Awesome.
Don't know why I put that in there though. Midnight Special, let's talk about that. That's by Jeff Nichol, who did Mud and oh my god, what did he do? He did another really good film with Michael Shannon, Take Shelter.
Oh, I love that film.
And this is vaguely superhero movie. It's about a kid with special powers and his dad realises and they have to go on the run because the CIA is after them.
That's interesting.
But it's like a grown-up superhero film and that guy visually is just really good and he's great with child actors. The trailer's really good. I've seen a clip from it that's brilliant.
Is there a trailer out for it?
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
And it's Michael Shannon and Joel Edgerton and Kirsten Dunst and Adam Driver, I think.
Awesome.
Adam Driver's like the bloke that wants to like do experiments on him, it looks
Sounds
like
a great cast.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
What's the, what can the kid do? Good, what's his powers?
You know what? I've actually been trying to avoid finding out, so I didn't really watch the trailer properly, but it's something to do with his eyes. He's having to wear goggles because his eyes can do something.
Okay.
But yeah, even the poster's him with like these goggles on. He's reading a Superman comic with a torch. And it's
that's
like,
really cool.
So yeah, that could be... That's one of those ones
that's really good.
I don't think it's on anyone's radar yet. Hail Caesar, we've got the new Coen brothers, which is always important.
That looks so good as
well. But more kind of a light-hearted fun, but it's them re-teaming with Clooney. And it's set in Hollywood in the 1940s.
He does Coen brothers so well, Clooney does. Like he does these certain eyes, and he's doing them in this where he's just like these crazy, like popping out eyes with his crazy eyebrows. It's gonna be. Really
it's set in the 1940s, and it's behind the scenes in Hollywood, and he's making a film about ancient Rome, and he gets kidnapped. So he spends the whole film. Everyone's dressed. It's 1940s, and he's dressed as a Roman soldier, which I think that in itself is gonna be funny.
It sounds great. Yeah,
I can't wait for that.
Eddie the Eagle.
I'm up for this.
Are you aware of Eddie the Eagle Edwards?
No.
It's from about 1988. He was a downhill slope skier for England, for Great Britain.
Not
even though we don't really have
all.
Them at the Olympics. And he came last. And he became a folk hero because he did it. He wasn't very good at it, and he could have killed himself every time he went down that slope. But he did it, and he's kind of geeky looking. He's hilarious, sort of thick glasses, shell suits, mask kind of like that.
He looks like one of the Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, he does. Really? And he seemed like one of life's losers, but he actually became a huge celebrity for a couple of years. And he's still, if you mentioned to my generation, Eddie Eagle, everyone knows Eddie Eagle Edwards. So they made a movie. Taron Egerton from Secret Service is playing him.
That sounds pretty cool.
With Hugh Jackman as his coach. And I've seen some footage. I've seen footage from this one, and it looks really, really good fun. Like an inspirational, kind of like a Cool Runnings kind of film. Yeah. If you like Cool Runnings, but it's pretty much the same.
Are they playing it like serious or?
Yeah, well, it is.
It probably has a sweet message behind
exactly.
it, but I'm sure
they are,
there's
they
like
are telling the story, but okay. like it's a fictionalized version of the story. But it's in the same way that like it looks like the same tone as Billy Elliot,
okay,
or the Full Monty. Rudy's a bit more serious, I think.
Yeah, quite serious.
Rudy's a bit more heavy. But and Hugh Jackman's playing it very broadly for laughs, like playing this kind of, you know, I can't remember if he's American or Australian but like this big lug of a guy who won't train him and thinks he's an idiot but sees something in him, you know.
This sounds good.
Sausage Party.
Hello.
Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg are doing an animated film for adults. Ooh. That they want to have the kind of animation that's as good as Pixar, okay. but jokes that are really, really rude. I don't know a huge amount more about it, but yeah. I just think that's interesting in a year that Finding Dory's coming out. This might be the animated film I want to see rather than that.
Yeah, that'd be quite good. Do you know what the story is or anything like that? Or, yeah.
No, I've been avoiding that one actually.
Okay.
Because I want to be surprised. Elvis and Nixon, I've seen some footage from that. That looks great. Michael Shannon plays Elvis. Kevin Spacey plays Richard Nixon, and it's about the day this genuinely happened. Elvis Presley showed up at the White House because he wanted to become a government agent and because he knew people in the Black Panthers and in all these different industries on the edge of society, and so he could go undercover, as it were.
Brilliant.
And find things out. And so Nixon had no choice but to speak to him for an hour. And so he went to his office, showed him like his kung fu and stuff, and Nixon.
Oh my god!
So it just,
really,
it's one of these weird stories that's true, and from what I've seen, is going to be really, really funny.
Michael Shannon as Elvis. Come on, that's going to be brilliant.
Really funny.
That's going to be really.
And
good.
Then the one I'm most excited about is Everybody Wants Some, which is Richard Linklater's new film.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Dazed and Confused, go and see it. It's absolutely brilliant, about the last day at school in the 1970s. Mm. It's about a kid trying to get laid. And it's just so much fun. And it introduced... It was Ben Affleck's first movie. It was Matthew McConaughey's first movie.
Oh, cool.
And it's got a brilliant soundtrack. And it's just... I like those films. Like, it's kind of like Superbad almost. But
yeah.
Set in the 70s. And this is like a spiritual sequel to that. But it's also like a sequel to Boyhood.
Yeah.
So Boyhood ends with his first day at college. And this film is about a kid, his first weekend at college in the 1980s, trying to get laid. And joining the sports team and this and that.
That sounds great.
It'll be really good fun. If you like comedy, check it out.
Yeah.
Finally, last three films. Christmas. Three big releases of Christmas, I think, could go either way. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
That'll be fun.
Interested in that?
I've got a friend who is an extra on the set. So he's been...
So have I.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same
How
friend.
Funny. What a funny coincidence.
So he's been telling me just good things.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about it. I'm one of those people that never really got too into Harry Potter.
Same here. I've got nothing invested in it, but I'm interested.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a good film. But it just depends on how much they want to throw back to that universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it won't too much because obviously he's not going to be in it.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rogue One.
Really interested.
Yeah,
that,
very.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, though, how the world reacts to a film that doesn't have the old stars in it, that isn't that story anymore. It'll be the first Star Wars film that isn't part of that story.
Exactly,
that can.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
So it's a good idea, but I'm just interested. This one is obviously going to make a fortune. Force Awakens mm-hmm. will... It's probably come out by the time we do this, put this out. So we'll know that how much money it's made.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if there's... Even 2/3 as much interest in a spin-off.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. But the cast is good. Director's solid.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what people love about Star Wars is like the universe itself.
Exactly, yeah.
And like seeing a lot of those familiar ships and like stormtrooper uniforms and things,
sure.
That's almost enough to really entice people into watching it. So if you have different characters and a good narrative.
Yeah, it's just whether it's everyone. Like Star Wars is going to get everyone in cinemas. Will the spin-offs get everyone? Old people? You
that's
know,
true, yeah.
Your girlfriend? Who
I guess it depends on like how much they're going to put into like the marketing push. Like, because they put a lot into The Force Awakens, obviously. But of course, that's because it's a big thing. It's the first Star Wars Wars movie after all these years, it'll be interesting to see once the ball's in motion, yeah, like how much they're going to keep trying to do.
Thing is, though, like I was thinking about this the other day, like even though it's quite, it's not a big gamble for them because obviously it's going to do well, but for people who've played video games or Star Wars stuff, we've like lived in that world without like Han and Leia and those guys, like because video, the Star Wars video games take place a lot of the time without those guys.
Yeah.
So like it's not that much of an alien thing for those kind of people, but as you say, it's going to be odd to market that and be like, look, no, they're not in there, because how do you, people who aren't into films and don't read up on films and stuff all the time, like it's going to be really hard to them to go, look, it's a Star Wars film. But it ain't that kind of Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be hard.
It's going to be interesting. And also, I don't really like prequels, and it's a prequel.
Mm.
I always have a problem with them, in that it makes it hard to have tension in a prequel sometimes, if you vaguely know.
Of course, yeah. You know how it's going to
really good people out on board with it, though. So I think...
I'm just remembering, I heard something in the pub the other day. I could give you a really big bit of news about it, about who's in it.
Really?
I'm going to have to think about this off air, maybe write it up as a story.
Okay.
There's actually four, because I've totally remembered... One more. Okay, so Assassin's Creed, out Boxing Day.
A little nervous about it, but again, like I haven't played all the Assassin's Creed games. I'm a little skeptical. I don't know how they're approaching it in terms of it being a movie based on a video game, or are they just doing it purely as a movie?
Until we went to watch Macbeth, I couldn't give less of a shit about Assassin's Creed film, but the fight scenes in that are really good. And it's the same director, and obviously paired again with Fassbender.
Yeah.
Like, it's a beautiful looking film, Macbeth is. And I think if they can make an Assassin's Creed film that look like that, obviously it's, you know, not going to be the same kind of story. It's going to be probably a lot more accessible. But
yeah,
if they can make it look like that, that'll be good.
Yeah, I don't think you need a lot as well to tie in with the games. As long as you have a scene where he's in the like original Assassin's garb, you know, with the hood, everyone will lose their minds. Combine that with decent fighting and a good narrative, and I think it'll be absolutely a great follow-up to Warcraft, which will hopefully be the first great video game movie, and then this can be the second.
Yeah, we could have two.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Or two bad ones. And the one I remembered, I'm so happy it just came to me. So Gambit moved out of this year because they delayed it.
Yeah.
A big film moved in, and I couldn't remember and couldn't find it. I've just remembered it.
What was it?
Alien is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Alien Covenant, or whatever it's called now. How do we feel about a new Alien movie coming out?
So which one is this?
Ridley Scott.
The Ridley Scott one.
A new trilogy, apparently.
Right, okay.
I heard it, you know, when I spoke to him, it was going to be a second and third Prometheus.
Right.
I'm unclear. What
so it's not Prometheus?
Well, it's called Alien now.
Okay.
It's going to be called Alien.
But it's following on from Prometheus.
I haven't read up on that.
Oh, fucking hell.
interested in Ridley Scott making another Alien film, though.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
But, I mean, what is that?
It is following on from Prometheus.
It is following, okay.
Because Fassbender's going to be in it.
Right, okay, cool. So it's that. That's the thing. I'm so confused with what's going on with that universe now.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a bit muddy.
They've made it confusing.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm definitely up for that.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Right, if you could tomorrow play one of those games, which one would it be, Rory?
Zelda for Wii U. Yeah.
Gav, if you could watch one of those TV shows, which would it be?
Vinyl.
Obviously.
If you could watch one of those movies, what would it be?
Star Wars is too obvious, because that would be my answer every year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Everybody Wants Some, the Linklater one.
Ooh, nice.
Cool.
Excellent.
So that is amazing. What we are looking forward to, and what we aren't looking forward to in 2016, but we would like to know your thoughts. Gav, do you want to tell them the email address?
IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Excellent. Nice. And that is it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, and keep it tuned to IGN for all your TV, game, and movie needs.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.